What was the primordial moon like? Was it watery like Earth? If so, why is it so dry now? Mm-hmm. But what was the moon really like at its formation? The place to look for that question and the answer is inside the moon. Now we're not on the surface. We're going to be dealing with isotopic ratio techniques applied to the basalt rocks and the glass beads that we know were thrown up from the interior of the moon in primordial volcanic eruptions. Now, to look for water in the moon's interior, quote, no one had ever looked at chlorine isotope values of the moon before, said Professor Zachary Sharp and his colleague, Professor Chip Shearer, both in the University of New Mexico Earth and Planetary Sciences Department. And their recent chlorine isotope technique used a gas source mass spectrometer with the capability to make isotopic ratio measurements. This is at an atomic level, and they could do this on small amounts of lunar basalts and volcanic glass beads that they interpret as coming from inside the moon. And these rocks at the University of New Mexico were delivered there directly from NASA after Apollo 15 astronauts had brought them back to Earth. Well, so now they have applied a new chlorine isotope analysis. And to their complete surprise, the University of New Mexico scientists found, based on the chlorine isotopic ratios, that the moon's interior, called the mantle, has only about 1/10,000th to 1/100,000th of the water that is in our own Earth's interior. And the scientists concluded that the only way to explain the large chlorine isotopic variations is there is no hydrogen in those rocks. Here now is Professor Chip Shearer from the University of New Mexico to talk about the implications.
Okay.
Now, what we ended up doing is using this fact to estimate the water content of the lunar interior. It appears that the Earth's interior is probably 1,000 to 10,000 times greater than the moon's interior. And this actually fits in with the initial observation made by scientists following Apollo.
Well, is it possible, though, that the moon did not eject from the Earth, as has been hypothesized, but might be a captured body with a completely different chemistry?
Well, I think what our data is supportive of the dry moon, I think that it's more supportive of a origin of the moon where a Mars-sized body impacting the Earth and forming a debris ring around the Earth that then coalesced and formed the moon.
Another planetary scientist who has specialized in studying lunar rocks and meteorites trying to understand how the moon was formed is Jeff Taylor, PhD, professor of planetary science at the University of Hawaii Institute of Geophysics and Planetology in Honolulu. After 40 years of trying to figure out why the Earth is so wet and the moon is so dry, Professor Taylor welcomes the new chlorine isotope data and says whatever happened 4.5 billion years ago, he agrees with Professor Shearer that it is likely a very large body between Mars and Earth did impact the early Earth. The hypothesis is that the impactor broke up into a debris field that eventually formed our moon from that foreign impactor debris. That would explain why the moon's chemical composition is different from Earth's. Here now is planetary geophysicist Jeff Taylor.
And what this work by Sharp and Shearer and the others has done is to look at the magmas coming from the interior. And what they find, the fact that the isotopes didn't fractionate means that there was no water in the magma. And that means no water in the magma, no water in the interior, because when the rocks melt, it goes into the liquid portion or the magma. So the fact that there was no very low water in the magma indicates that the interior in that spot did not have much water. The thing is, there is water in the moon, but what we don't know is exactly how is it distributed? You know, where exactly is it high and or higher, and where is it lower than other places? And how did it get to where it is? How much of this has to do with the initial melting of the moon? The moon was almost totally melted when it formed, and then it crystallized before remelting again. What happened during that event to redistribute the water? Was any water added during that event, say from, you know, early comets coming in or icy objects from the outer solar system coming in? You start making lists of questions to wonder about, and this becomes wildly complicated. It boggles my mind. I don't know if it boggles everybody's mind.
Well, I would agree. And since the moon is so dry and the Earth is so wet, is it possible that the moon is a captured body?
There is a chance that it is a captured body, and that in one of two ways. Either it is, as I said before, the big impact idea. It could be that the object that hit the Earth and the moon forms from mostly that object was bone dry for whatever reason. Or the impact, the whole environment was such that we lost the water. But even if the moon was captured, this raises more questions. If the moon was captured, or if the impactor was very dry, why is that when the Earth must have been wet? I mean, it's very confusing as to how you have dry objects and wet objects.
And then we're back to the question that if it was an impactor and the Earth had a lot of water, why is the moon so dry if it came from a wet Earth?
Because most of it came from the not Earth.
It came from the impactor.
From the impactor, and it might have been drier. Or the environment was very hot and we just may have boiled off the water and a lot of other of these volatile elements.
If it is mostly the impactor, then the moon is more the impactor and not the Earth.
Yeah, that's right.
And studying it is like studying a really foreign body.
It is. I've said in the past that it is a way of understanding the composition of the impactor. One of these leftover, we call them planetary embryos, these objects that the planets form from, the moon's composition tells us something about the composition of one of those projectiles. And the moon, I might add, is, most of us think, is different chemically from the Earth. And the key parameter that's different is the amount of oxidized iron. The moon rocks, many of the moon rocks tend to be richer in ferrous iron, oxidized iron, than our Earth rocks. And that suggests to me that that's what a property of the impactor, that it was different. And Mars, by the way, is way different from the Earth in ferrous iron.
Well, what would you deduce from the kind of ferrous iron in the moon rocks about the impactor, the foreign body, compared to the ferrous iron on the Earth?
I think it indicates that it comes from not from the same exact orbit of the Earth, that it's somewhat between the Earth and Mars. There does seem to be a little gradient in the amount of ferrous iron. And Mars is high in ferrous iron, and if there is a gradient in that, maybe having to do with temperature conditions in the gas dust cloud from which everything formed, then the moon came from somewhat further out, and various gravitational interactions with other objects in the solar system diverted it to an orbit where it crossed the Earth's orbit.